now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, this is a prophetic emergency alert. In all the years that I've been broadcasting on television and the internet and AM and FM radio, going back decades and decades, and doing intensive research, the central theme, the central thrust of my programming has been to educate, make aware, and alert people to a basic fact. And that basic fact is reiterated in the 37 plus books that I've written and hundreds of national articles and conferences and prophecy messages. The central focus, and there are other areas of focus, has always been this, and that is there is a one world government, a one world economic system, and a one world religion racing into our lives. Now, I talked about the racing into our lives of globalism way over 30 years ago. You don't need to know the decade because I don't want it to be misconstrued as bragging. This is something that the Lord put a burden on my heart and mind. So I can't take credit for the insights regarding globalism. I can't say it was some plan of Paul McGuire's because that wouldn't be true. What is true, and you will rarely hear me say it, and when I do say it, it's sparingly. As many of you know, I don't go around calling myself a prophet. And the reason I don't do that is because according to the Bible, and that's the standard upon which I've built my life, according to the Bible, in order to be a 100% authentic prophet of God, you have to have a 100% record of accuracy. If you're even at 99 or 98%, which means you have occasional misfires and slip-ups, according to the Word of God, you are not a prophet of God. It doesn't mean that God may not use you in a prophetic manner. I believe there's lots of people in America and around the world today that God is using in a prophetic manner. But I distinguish between being used by God in a prophetic manner and being a prophet. Now, when I say being a prophet, I'm talking about being a prophet in the larger sense of the word. So, for example, Ezekiel, Isaiah, etc., would be 100% authentic prophets of God. And people can have the gift of prophecy at a local church, a Bible study, or they can have a prophetic word. In other words, I'm not dismissing the reality that there are large numbers of God's people that function in the gift of prophecy, where God uses them regularly on a prophetic basis. And I think I've made myself clear, so I don't want to continue on that. Now, the Lord, and again, I don't even like talking about it because it could be misperceived as a kind of boasting, and I would rather people not even know about it, except that sometimes I believe it's necessary to communicate it. Now, in the process of writing books and speaking and doing radio shows and various network cable television shows and appearing on numerous shows on the History Channel, on Bible Prophecy, speaking at Bible Prophecy conferences, being the senior pastor of Paradise Mountain Church, hosting radio programs and television programs, et cetera, et cetera. Again, the focus has been to expose globalism because, for the most part, the evangelical or the Bible-believing church has censored God's word in the area of Bible prophecy and in the area of the book of Revelation, especially. The overwhelming majority of so-called evangelical, so-called Bible-believing Christians, I think the number was 87%. I'll slide it to 80% to give it more wiggle room. So approximately 80% or higher of so-called Bible-believing churches forbid the teaching of Bible prophecy. They will not read the book of Revelation in its entirety. They will not study or teach the book of Revelation. To be precise, many people in the evangelical and Bible-believing community treat the book of Revelation as if it was pornography. They censor it. They hide it from their children. They refuse to talk about it. And they act as if talking about Bible prophecy or exposing your children to the reality of Bible prophecy, they act as if that's the same as exposing someone to pornography. And I'm not embellishing that. You know it's a fact, and I know it's a fact. And I want to ask you a question right now. How on earth are you going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which every one of us as believers will do? We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're guaranteed entrance into heaven through the blood of Jesus and being born again. And we will not have to stand before the great white throne of judgment because we're guaranteed entrance into heaven. All non-believers will stand before the great white throne of judgment, but we will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where God will evaluate, sift through our lives, and anything that was not done for the Lord Jesus Christ out of a pure heart, out of pure motives, will be burnt up with God's holy fire. And evangelicals, you know, they treat Jesus Christ, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they treat him as if he was the jack-in-the-box popping out of a jack-in-the-box hamburger restaurant. Well, I hate to break it to you. Jesus Christ is not your buddy. He's not your lover. And Jesus Christ is not a cartoon character. And Jesus Christ is not Jack in the Jack-in-the-Box. Never forget who Jesus Christ is. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the very reality of the existence and lordship of Jesus Christ, if you were a Christian who was alive in the Holy Spirit, you would tremble, literally tremble, at the name of Jesus Christ. Now you may ask, well, what does he have, some sick pathological theology where we're supposed to be terrified of God? No, God is love. How do I know that? The Bible says God is love. But I know that also because I have been walking with God for, I don't know, over 40 years. And I have learned firsthand in my personal relationship of walking with God just how loving, just how caring, just how compassionate, just how forgiving that God is. God is love. And so I don't fear God out of some kind of psychopathic paranoia. I fear God because holiness, when you allow it to dwell in you by faith, because remember, none of us is holy because of our legalism or our good works or our self-efforts at being holy. We don't possess the holiness of God because some kind of scorecard is being kept. The holiness of God is when we worship God and allow His holy presence to fill our hearts and minds. And when His holy presence, the Holy Spirit, fills us and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, we are sanctified, set apart, or made holy by God by faith. And so we know God is love and He loves us. So the Lord gave me a number of callings, and one primary calling from the beginning has been to teach and study Bible prophecy, specifically the coming one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. Because as I did my research going back decades, I could see the danger and the rapid emergence of this coming new world order, which consists of a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system. And I could recognize from research that this would be highly threatening, highly dangerous to anyone who loves freedom and anyone who loves Jesus Christ or the Word of God or the Old Testament or New Testament. Anyone who loves the Word of God is in the line of fire of the New World Order. Because the New World Order, by its very nature, is energized by the spirit of Antichrist, not Antichrist with a capital A, but Antichrist with a small a. It is the spirit of Antichrist that penetrates nations throughout human history. And wherever you see a nation that has been taken over by ungodliness, taken over by the forces of hell, taken over by evil, whenever you see a nation like that, and now tragically, with sadness, we would all have to agree that America has become such a nation. And what has caused America to become a nation that celebrates and rejoices evil and embraces spiritual darkness is because of the reality that we have been invaded many, many years ago. We have been invaded in America by the spirit of Antichrist. And when the spirit of Antichrist infiltrates and penetrates a nation, it begins to violently attack and assault and attempt to destroy everything that is of God, every institution of God, anything that mirrors God, the biblical God. The spirit of Antichrist, by its very nature, wages war against the holy and biblical God. And therefore, when you see marriage, God's holy institution, being attacked, what energizes that is the spirit of Antichrist. When you see a political ideology being promoted and rising before you, a case in point would be communism, Marxism, and socialism. What is causing those ideologies to rise in power before our very eyes right now is the fact that they are being energized by the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist hates passionately anything that has to do with God. And when you study the Communist Manifesto, the Marxist literature, the the teachings of the Frankfurt School, Marxists, etc., you see they write in their own writing that their number one enemy and number one goal is to destroy Christianity and remove Christianity from America. That is evidence of the spirit of Antichrist at work. When you see that the school systems, public education, will not allow any teaching about the Bible, the Ten Commandments, God, or the Bible, when you see that, that's evidence of the spirit of Antichrist, which is already penetrated and largely taken over our educational system. So whenever you see evidence of God's institutions or evidence of God's laws and his commandments or God himself or Jesus Christ himself being mocked, being ridiculed, being attacked and assaulted, what you are witnessing with your eyes is an all-out attack by the spirit of Antichrist. And that spirit of Antichrist has worked in many other nations in human history. The French Revolution was driven and energized by the spirit of Antichrist. When you read the private writings of the famous French philosophers like Voltaire and Rousseau and many others, and I outline this for you in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I discuss this very thing. When you see these famous French philosophers driving the masses, whipping up the masses to have an all-out French revolution in France, financed by the Illuminati, what you're witnessing is an example with the French Revolution of the spirit of Antichrist moving through these famous philosophers like Rousseau and Voltaire, etc., etc. And when you read their private writings, the private correspondence that was supposed to be secret, when you read the letters that were sent back and forth between a fair number of the great French philosophers like Rousseau and Voltaire, and you study their letters and writings as I have, their private letters and writings as I have, they come right out and take the gloves off, and they say to one another secretly that their goal is to absolutely eradicate and destroy biblical Christianity, biblical morality, and literally gut France of any influence of the church, Christianity, Jesus, and the Word of God. And so these philosophers were not merely intellectuals. These philosophers were agents of the Illuminati, a satanic organization, and they were change agents whose goal was to overthrow a Judeo-Christian France and kill, massacre, behead, send to prison all the Christians and the pastors and the people who loved God and loved the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's applicable to what's happening in America. And another proof that what was happening in France was energized by the spirit of Antichrist was the fact that when the masses of people were whipped up into a French Revolution, how they behaved was the behavior of people under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist. The masses of French revolutionaries would go into the churches and the cathedrals, and they would take off their clothes until they were naked, and they would conduct wild sexual orgies in the churches of Paris and all across France. They had wild sexual orgies in the churches. They would get drunk. They would take drugs. that would be moral anarchy. And why, ask yourself the question, why would there be moral anarchy inside of the churches? What was it about French culture and society that drove the French revolutionaries to develop a pathological hatred for the church and have this uncontrollable desire to defile themselves, break the commandments of God, hate Jesus Christ, burn down the churches, and have orgies and killings and drunkenness and so on and so forth, occult ceremonies inside of many of the churches? What was causing that phenomenon was that the spirit of Antichrist was unleashed through the French Revolution, and it was the spirit of Antichrist that initiated the explosion in immorality. And you see that replicated in every nation on planet Earth that has followed the model of the French Revolution. So nations and ideologies that followed the French Revolution would be communism and Marxism and socialism and all of those political ideologies, because all of them are energized by the spirit of Antichrist, and in their own writing and agenda, they are dedicated to the destruction of Christianity and the total annihilation of God and His Word. Sober up. Okay, so that was always part of my research, because when you study history, you see a through line among the ideas and the philosophies and the religion of mankind, beginning with ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. You see the spirit. Of course, Christ had not yet been born, but you see the spirit of Antichrist, whatever name you call it, it was energizing what was happening in ancient Babylon. And what was happening in ancient Babylon under the rule of Nimrod was so offensive to God, their immorality, their demonic worship, their sexual orgies, their human sacrifices, their worship of Lucifer was so offensive to God Almighty that He came down from heaven to personally check out what was going on in Babylon, even though He already knew what was happening. And what God Almighty saw in ancient Babylon was the template, the blueprint for what would happen to mankind and the human race right up to the present moment. And so God Almighty judged ancient Babylon for its evil and wickedness. And God Almighty noticed that they were unified, that mankind was unified in ancient Babylon, but they were unified for the purposes of evil, and they were unified for the purpose of worshiping Lucifer. And that's why they built the Tower of Babel, or Babel. The translation of the Tower of Babel, or Babel, means the gate of God, but not the biblical God, a satanic God. The translation of the Tower of Babel can also be translated as the gate of the gods, speaking of the demonic powers that would come through the portal of the Tower of Babel. The demonic powers would come through that portal, and that's what was referred to as the gate of the gods. That refers to the demonic powers coming into the earth, and so the Tower of Babel was a gate of the gods, and gods, plural, small g, refers to the demonic beings and the rankings of demonic powers that entered the earth through ancient Babylon and the Tower of Babel. And what happened in ancient Babylon was the blueprint for the organized globalist New World Order rebellion that's exploding today. Let me give you an illustration. Ancient Babylon, at the time of the Tower of Babel, was the world's first New World Order. And as the world's first New World Order, ancient Babylon consisted of a one-world government, a one-world economic system, and a one-world religion. So the basis for Mystery Babylon, or Babylon, was established at the time of the Tower of Babel. And it has continued through empire after empire, kingdom after kingdom, right up to the present moment. So today, and they've been trying over and over again with great lust to bring in their Antichrist one world government. So bringing this up right up to the second, we have what's called the global reset. In the words of one of the founders of the global reset, Professor Klaus Schwab, the global reset is a modernized name for the New World Order. So when you're talking about the global reset, you're talking about the New World Order, which began in ancient Babylon. And as the heads of this new World Order, known as the Great Reset, the super trillionaires behind the Great Reset, their plan is to create a new world order called the Great Reset that will consist of a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system. That's happening right before our very eyes. Now, that should shake you to your boots. That should wake those that are asleep. It should wake you. It should make you come wide awake, because Bible prophecy is exploding in fulfillment right before your eyes. But do you have eyes that can see it? I mean, it's plainly before your eyes, but can you see it? Numerous prophets in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, the apostles, all warned of the coming of Mystery Babylon, the one world government, the one world religion, and the one world economic system. And it's rising right before our eyes. It is the blueprint for the immediate future. Its origins come from Lucifer, the fallen angels, and all the men and women throughout history who have chosen to follow and serve Satan or Lucifer. So, when we examine what is happening, we see so many flashing red lights happening in our world, our culture, our economy, flashing red lights that connect directly to numerous biblical prophecies of the coming one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. Now, as I said before, I've been studying this for essentially my entire lifetime, because God gave me a supernatural burden from the Holy Spirit to educate God's people about this, to teach them about it, and to prepare them for it. And I began doing this decades and decades ago, before it even materialized, before it was even on the radar screen of most people. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. You need to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And you need to pre-order, while there is still time left, my brand new book, which is being sent to the printer, Power from On High, which discusses all of these things and much, much more in an up-to-the-second manner. If you really want to know what's going on, then I implore you to read this book so you can be proactive. And I have many other books that were written before Power from On High that build the discussion, the apologetic, the argument, the facts regarding this coming New World Order, now called the Great Reset, and the One World Government, the One World Economic System, the One World Religion, the microchip implant, the mark of the beast, 666, the cashless society. I have been delving into this for decades, and I know that this book is something you must read, and you must read it quickly. Now, even though it's available to you now at a financial discount, we can only print it so many copies. Everybody who pre-ordered the book, your copy has been put aside for you in a mailing envelope with your name and address. It's ready to be mailed the instant we get it back from the printer. But there's still time to get Power from On High at a discount if you order it now at paulmcguire.us. Okay, this is Paul McGuire. I have something very important to share with you in a few seconds. Stay with us and visit paulmcguire.us. This is Paul McGuire, and I told you right up front that I have perhaps some of the most important information to share with you that perhaps I've ever shared in this way on any media. And I'm going to share it with you on the Paul McGuire Report. Many times in my books, at conferences, and speaking, etc., I have made reference to something that usually is received with ridicule. I get attacked for it, sometimes mockery, and in general, I'm attacked for saying it. But that has never stopped me from saying it, because I know that it's true, and I knew that it was true when I first said it. And with the risk of sounding arrogant, I will not bow to stupidity and foolishness. I will not bow and surrender a position or a fact or a truth to accommodate a fool, or to make myself or my works accepted by people who have paid no price whatsoever to gain knowledge. I won't do it, and I'll never do it in the future. Now, I have talked about this before, and this is what I have talked about. I have talked about the fact that in this world, you know, they have the list of the biggest billionaires in the world, and they name Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and a whole bunch of these guys that are billionaires. But you notice that they never mention the name of anybody who's a trillionaire. And I'm talking about Forbes magazine. And in fact, you'll never read, I mean, I'm sure there's exceptions, but essentially you'll never read a news account, a journalist account, or an article which mentions the fact that there are men and women alive today on planet Earth who are trillionaires. Now, I started saying that a long time ago, and I'll take it even further, as I did a long time ago. Not only are these people trillionaires, they're in a category that I would call super trillionaires. Now, if you want to know more and dig deeper, it's in my book, Power from On High. So I would mention that, and you can imagine the response. I don't give a hoot about the response. If it's true, and I've done my homework, and I've done my research, and to the best of my knowledge, it's accurate, then so be it. I went further in my discussion of this because I believe after decades of research that there are not only men and women and families on Earth right now that would be in the category of trillionaires. I'm going to tell you right now to your face that I believe, on the basis of many years of research, that there's a small category of families and individuals, men and women, who would fit in the classification of super trillionaires. In other words, what I'm telling you is that their personal wealth is not just in the trillions, their personal wealth is in the super trillions of dollars, real estate, gold. Their collective assets make them super trillionaires. Now, people are horrified when I mention this. I don't care, because they have spent no time researching. I've spent a lifetime researching. So I have been talking about this, and strangely enough, which is often the case, like I said earlier, I don't claim to be a prophet. But the Lord uses me prophetically. The Lord uses my research, my writing, my books, and my speaking. He uses it in a prophetic manner. In other words, when I'm telling you, and it's not intended to be boastful, but the Lord prophetically leads me and guides me to information, facts, data, and all kinds of things that I believe I discover by God's supernatural power, supernatural insight. Because I'll be very honest with you, there's no way I can credit myself or credit my own human intelligence or credit my own finite mind for knowing and discovering and acquiring the knowledge. It isn't coming from Paul McGuire, so there's nothing to boast or brag about. It's a gift from God that I've had as far back as I can remember. Now, that is the reason for knowing about the classification of people that I call super trillionaires. Most of the time, I have to live decades and you know, be insulted and called names and stuff because I can't give a final irrefutable proof text or irrefutable documentation. Yes, I have documentation. Yes, I have facts and figures. But I don't have them at the level that's necessary to pass impeccable inspection. Now, that doesn't mean they're not true. I'm just holding myself to the highest standard possible. So it was, I'm guessing it was very recently, or it just came public through the media recently. And Prince Charles was talking, I believe it was Prince Charles, and Prince Charles made this statement. And what he said in the statement, I'm reading from my notes, so it's almost an exact paraphrase. Prince Charles was talking about the fact that there are men and that there is a man that is going to rise who is so rich and so wealthy that this man who's going to rise to power is worth, and these are the words of Prince Charles, trillions and trillions of dollars. In other words, Prince Charles was saying that this man who's going to rise in the near future is worth many trillions of dollars. And the way he said it led you to believe that we're talking about this guy who was worth many, many trillions of dollars. And here's some things that he said about the vast wealth that this man possessed. He said that this man's wealth, in terms of its trillions and trillions of dollars, is his wealth is worth more than the entire wealth of every government and every billionaire and every person on planet Earth. That the wealth of this individual who's going to rise, who is worth trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, his wealth is greater than all the wealth in the world combined. His wealth is greater than the global GDP, which is the accumulated wealth of every single nation, including America. What Prince Charles was saying, that this man that's going to rise in the near future, his massive wealth in terms of trillions and trillions of dollars is worth more than the GDP of every nation on planet Earth combined. And then he said this man will have, he will be so wealthy that he and his countless trillions of dollars will be able to finance with his own money a massive military campaign. And he'll pay for it out of his own pocket to the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars. This mysterious man who is rising to power will finance a military campaign on behalf of climate change. And he will use military force and go into nation after nation, including America, to enforce the most radical climate change laws and policies, the Great Reset, President Biden's climate change initiative. And this man will finance the radical change of so many laws and regulations regarding the environment, climate change, and the way we live life on planet Earth. This man will have so much wealth and power, he will initiate the Great Reset, and he will change life as we know it on planet Earth. And this is from a man who, admittedly, Prince Charles, is worth trillions. Now, he may have been alluding to himself in a veiled manner, or he may have been alluding to somebody else. So he may have been saying in a disguised way that he is worth trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars, or he may have made reference to somebody else who's worth many, many, many trillions of dollars. You see, most people, as I've discussed this over the decades, could never believe that this is possible, because they get their data from Forbes magazine or the Wall Street Journal or whatever. And so it's beyond their limited, finite human comprehension that anybody could be this wealthy. But that's because they fail to mathematically predict what is really possible. And in my books, going back decades, I have predicted the wealth of what I call secret individuals who are worth trillions and trillions of dollars. Because I don't make my calculation based on an overly simplistic economic mathematical formula. I simply follow the leading, and I could also say the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It begins with the Lord giving me a divine flash of insight. It begins with the Lord speaking to me prophetically and opening doors of understanding to me. that I could never do by myself. And the Lord supernaturally enhances my thinking and analytical abilities. So let me tell you how this works. We go back to the ancient Egyptian Empire. We go back to Babylon. We go back to all the super civilizations and empires that have existed on planet Earth before the flood and after the flood of Noah. And these people didn't have depreciating, valueless paper money in the beginning. Their wealth was rooted in land, territory, armies, gold, jewels, silver, precious metals, things of tangible worth. And they secretly stored it away in hidden vaults, hidden chambers, deep underground. Nobody knew how to get to their hidden wealth. They had their massive armies guard their secret wealth. And in case you don't know it, right now, today, as I'm talking to you, there are massive deposits of this secret wealth hidden all over planet Earth that people do know where it is. I'll just give you one example, just one. I was researching the rocket scientist, the Nazi rocket scientist, Wernher von Braun. The Lord gave me a supernatural impression regarding Wernher von Braun, where he was building the V-2 rockets, and where vast wealth seized by the Nazis was hidden. Now, other people in the world know this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be around. I would have disappeared. And so the Lord gave me a supernatural understanding and anointed what I call prophetic research. And he gives me impressions and ideas in my spirit. And the Lord put into my spirit the concept that if you want to understand the logistics of the Nazis, Paul, because I've researched the Nazis due to their occult powers in many of my books, like A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2. And the Lord said, the Nazis would use pre-existing structures, pre-existing methodologies, pre-existing sciences to secretly build their rockets, to protect their rockets from enemy destruction, and to hide and protect their gold, their jewels, and their precious assets. Now, you may think I'm dumb, but I'll just tell you how this works. I knew there was a word, there was a technical word for the science of the scientific study of caves. I can't even remember how to pronounce it today, so I'm not going to even try. Some of you know that name. There's a scientific name for the scientific study and exploration of caves. And the Lord showed me, as I was doing a Google Earth search, as I read dozens of scholarly research papers on the building by the Nazis and others of deep underground structures to hide vast amounts of gold and precious jewels, etc., and to hide from America and Great Britain and Russia where they were building their V-2 rockets. The Lord gave me a supernatural impression, as he often does. And time went by, and I read all of these scholarly articles, which showed me, these articles and research papers, some of them were 80 pages, 150 pages. And they had detailed maps, black and white color photographs, and all kinds of technical scientific research about deep underground Nazi tunnels, deep underground Nazi caverns, where the V-2 rockets were built, where their gold and silver was stored. And so the Lord puts it in my heart, and he tells me that this you're not looking at a singular or solitary effort. The Nazis and their scientists replicated their formula of hiding stuff deep underground. They replicated the formula over and over again, all over Europe, across Germany, and all over the world, including the United States of America. So, as I was paging through these scientific research reports, I saw this picture photographed by a scientist, and it was a big picture of a massive, deep underground cave-like, but far larger, far taller, higher, wider. It was a deep underground rocket construction factory where Dr. Wernher von Braun and the Nazi rocket scientists built the initial V-2 rockets, which they used to bomb the you-know-what out of Great Britain and other places. The V-2 rocket was one of the deadliest weapons that the Nazis ever engineered. And as I looked at this picture, I saw what looked like hundreds and most likely thousands of workers slaving away deep underground, and the Nazis were employing slave labor to build their V-2 rockets. The Lord revealed previously to me who the slave labor was and what else was going on. So it turns out that the slave labor deep underground building the V-2 rockets were the victims of the Nazi concentration camps. They were Nazi concentration camp workers, primarily Jews, that the Nazis used as slave labor to build deep underground their V-2 rockets. So these were obscene and horrific conditions, because the concentration camp workers literally had to construct and build the V-2 rockets deep underground, and they worked like slaves. And if they couldn't keep up their output, they were shot and killed or tortured. Now, the Lord showed something else to me. The Lord revealed to me from an aerial point of view, from an aerial perspective, the Lord put this picture in my mind. And the picture was that wherever this Nazi rocket deep underground construction facility was built, it would have to be invisible from American planes, British planes, Russian planes that would be flying over, I think it's an island, the island of Peenemünde, where they constructed, it's either an island or, I think more accurately, Peenemünde is located on the coastline right next to the water. And none of the British aircraft, American aircraft, Russian aircraft that were designed to fly low and spy on Germany to locate their rocket plants, their bomb plants, their soldiers, their munition plants. The entire Nazi Germany war machine, much of it was hidden deep underground. And so the enemies of Nazi Germany, including the U.S., we would fly over low-flying spy planes to look and photograph and see if we could find any evidence at all of something that would indicate that deep under the ground there was a rocket production facility. So on where Peenemünde was located, you couldn't see anything because with demonic ingenuity, the Nazis built one of their largest concentration camps above the deep underground rocket construction facility. So if you flew overhead, you would see a massive Nazi concentration camp with quarters for the concentration camp workers, quarters for the military. So if you were flying over and photographing it, all you would see was a gigantic, giant fences, giant guard towers. All you would see was the visible top surface of a concentration camp. And you would assume that the entire concentration camp was built on top of the earth. And then there were large guard towers placed all over the concentration camp. Now, again, with demonic ingenuity, what the Nazis did is they created these giant guard towers for double use. And what they did is the guard towers served the dual purpose of being a guard tower with giant spotlights, but the guard towers in the concentration camp also functioned as rocket launching towers for the Nazi V2 rockets. So in a matter of minutes, they could move a V2 rocket to the guard tower, and it would look exactly like a guard tower, because the way they did it, you couldn't see that there was a V2 rocket attached to it, nor could you observe from above that the guard tower was also a Nazi V2 rocket launcher. And so they would test the V2 rocket by firing it up into the air or firing it up into a neighboring nation via the guard tower. The guard tower was both a guard tower and an ingenious rocket launcher. So going back deep underground, you see these concentration camp workers slaving their lives away, making the V2 rockets. And then as you looked on the other side of the black and white photograph, you saw what looked like hundreds of thousands of these duffel bag, thick cloth bags that were tied with a knot, tied very securely. And these duffel bags, just like an infinite number of duffel bags, were piled all over and all over the ground in the deep underground V2 rocket construction facility. And what was hidden in those duffel bags was gold, was paper money, was precious jewels, silver, and diamonds. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of wealth that the Nazis had stolen from the Jews during World War II was hidden in duffel bags deep underground and hidden right next to the rocket, the deep underground rocket construction facilities. So we'll leave that there because there's more to that story, much more, when we bring it to the USA and other places. Okay, so what we have to understand is I don't know where that wealth was distributed. I don't know who took it, and I don't know where it went. But there were deposits of enormous wealth, whether it was King Solomon's mines, the vast wealth of the Egyptians, that were controlled by the secret societies, the secret occult societies, kept these vast riches for themselves, and they would pass it on from secret bloodline families to secret bloodline families. In other words, nobody knew about its existence. Nobody. Because it was hidden. It was concealed. I mean, the Knights Templar, they stole a lot of it when they invaded certain areas. And so these vast treasures underground didn't depreciate. They didn't lose their monetary value. They were not subject to inflation. And they were hidden so carefully, so deep underground, so heavily guarded, that only the globalist elite bloodline families knew where the wealth was. They owned the wealth, they had possession of the wealth, and they would pass it on from generation to generation. So let's take this to the ending. The ending is that wealth is still in the possession of people like Rothschild and Prince Charles and the royalty of England and royal families and the Illuminati and other elite bloodline families. It's very possible, I'm simply saying this theoretically, it's very possible that the globalist elite, which represents 12 of the richest and wealthiest bloodline families in the world, are the 12 families are actually the families that control the trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of massive wealth. It's very possible. But you see, it's not available for scrutiny from banks and taxing organizations. These people are smart. They hid their wealth. And so all that wealth has done, going back to Babylon and Egypt and before, all that wealth has done is it has become worth more and more and more and more. So when you multiply the wealth that they had, the massive wealth that they had in Babylon and ancient, the Egyptian Empire and other places like that, when you multiply that massive wealth by thousands of years, remember, we're now going back thousands of years. It's been 2,000 years plus since Jesus came. Well, it goes back much further than that. It goes back to the children of Israel. It goes back potentially to prehistory. It goes back, and all it's done is increased in value. So something that is unthinkable to the average limited mind of economists and professors, etc., they can't wrap their heads around the fact that certain elite families actually own this vast, almost infinite amount of wealth. They have it hidden. Nobody knows how to get to it. It's heavily guarded. And it's owned by these elite families. So when Prince Charles was referring to a man rising up who would be personally worth trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, and I will say that you have no idea how many trillions. He said, and I think he was understating it on purpose, trillions and trillions of dollars. I think a more accurate analysis of their monetary wealth, and I'm not gonna take it back because I've done my homework and I've done my math. I would say a closer analysis of their wealth would be in the hundreds of trillions of dollars, maybe even hundreds and hundreds of trillions of dollars of wealth. Because that is not even remotely an impossibility given the time frame involved and the multiplication of the value of the wealth. So, if a man rises up with this kind of wealth, he could be the Antichrist. At the very least, according to Prince Charles, he's the man who's going to finance the total takeover of planet Earth, the total Great Reset. And that means that a list of things are going to happen that if I was to tell you right now at this second, you would think I was stark raving mad. So I'll hold it back for a bit, not to be, you know, obnoxious or precocious, but I have to hold it back somewhat. The reason being that if I was to come out and say it, it would probably boomerang on me because I think most people, it would backfire. They would think I was stark raving mad. And I don't really care what they think, but I do care about effectively and truthfully communicating a message, because in that message, there is a warning and a call for God's people to be proactive before it's too late. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. I need your help. We need to spread this message far and wide as fast as we can, because, as many people have said, time is running out. The America that you enjoy and live in, with all its freedoms, it very possibly may not be here in the very near future. And you need to know that. And you need to know how quickly that potential danger is coming from the horizon. And so God did not call us to sit on our posteriors picking our nose. God said, God gave us instructions for the last days. It's amazing how God's people cherry pick his instructions. The instructions of Jesus Christ are, occupy until I come. That means we are to occupy, take control of, manage, exercise dominion of the resources, the land, our freedoms, the preaching of the gospel. You could expand the list quite large. We have been called by God. That's not a joke. We have been called by God to occupy until I come. What does that mean? It means that the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ, is far closer than you think. What they're engineering with their artificial DNA, their artificial genetic codes, their wireless to brain, wireless to satellite, wireless to computer technologies, is literally the fulfillment of the Mark of the Beast technology outlined in the Bible. Now, there are two kinds of people. There are people that have their heads screwed on straight, and there are people that do not have their heads screwed on straight. Their theology is faulty. They don't rightly divide the Word of God. they don't preach sound doctrine. Anyone with an ounce of common sense, anyone possessing a fraction of the mind of Christ, would know. The Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth inside you, would convict you with such force you'd be pinned to the ground weeping for crying out loud. We have a very short period of time in which to act decisively, strategically, intelligently, peacefully, and in a law-abiding manner, not succumbing to acting like a nut, not succumbing to following psychotic leaders, not succumbing to being controlled by external propaganda. We have a very short period of time to come together in the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is love, because God is love. We have a very short period to obey the Lord's command to us. And I'm going to repeat to you what the Lord is commanding us to do. He's telling us to rise. And if you can't hear the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the words, rise, then you need to start renewing your mind with the Word of God. God is calling his people to rise. And so we must rise while the door is still open. Whatever the time frame is, I don't know when it is. And by the way, neither does anybody else, including your favorite prophet. Because the Bible says, Jesus says, no man knows the hour of Christ's return. No man knows the hour or the day except for the Father. And unless you're the Father, you don't know when Christ is returning. So you have to occupy until he comes, however long, however short that may be. If the forces of evil, they are lusting because they're energized by the spirit of Antichrist. If they take down America, which is one of their highest goals, they want to take down America because they want to shut down completely the preaching of the gospel, the winning of souls, the bringing in of the last day's soul harvest, the igniting of a biblical third great awakening and a biblical great revival. They want to stop the spreading of the light of Jesus Christ. And they intend to do that because they're not nice people. They're servants of Satan. They intend to do that by any means necessary. So, God is calling us to rise. We have a very short period of time to discern what the Lord is saying, to allow the Lord to impart unto us his plan for us and his plan collectively. And together, in the true unity of the Lord, I'm not talking about false prophets, we must face the historic hour that we were called to face. There's no other option. You think you're going to hide? What, are you kidding me? They can read your individual electromagnetic frequency radiating out of your body from a satellite in outer space. Where are you going to hide? Where are you going to hide? You can't hide. So you must stand. And you can't give in to your feelings. Feelings can be deceptive. And you cannot be ruled by fear. You cannot be used by God if you're being ruled by fear. Because if you're being ruled by fear, you're not walking under the lordship of Jesus Christ. To be ruled by fear is to be ruled by a spirit, the spirit of fear. That is to be ruled by Satan. And if you're a man or woman of God, you cannot be ruled by Satan unless you give yourself over to Satan. So you must rise under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, knowing within every molecule of your body, knowing that God called you for such a time as this. And when I say the words, God called you for such a time as this, may I say to you politely that if you are at all discerning to the voice of the Spirit and someone says to you, you are called for such a time as this, I would say to you that the impact of those words should indeed hit your heart with such force that it would be like being hit with a sledgehammer from heaven. Not to kill you or give you a heart attack, but sometimes when you're stone cold asleep, the only thing that will arouse you is shock. And so, if necessary, and I'm not talking about that the Lord should actually do this, I'm talking about in a metaphor, let it be that the Lord should strike your heart with the force of a sledgehammer that is on fire. Why? Because a sledgehammer hitting your heart with force breaks the hardness of heart. You might ask, Paul, how did you get the title for your book, Power from On High? I'll tell you. Many, many, many years ago, I was in some Christian bookstore. I was barely saved. And there was an old book in that bookstore. And the book was just a light blue cover. You could tell it was a very old book by the paper and the cover. And it had a very simple title that I never forgot. The title of that book that I read more decades ago than I care to remember. The title of the book simply said, Power from On High, by Charles Finney. Charles Finney was the spiritual father of the Second Great Awakening. And his message was simply this, that the church can do nothing first without receiving power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that picture embedded itself in my mind and heart like a crystal clear photograph. I can see the cover of the book as if I saw it yesterday. And if you sense emotion in my speech, you're right. Because as I struggle humanly to get these words out to you, my body, including my vocal cords, are trembling. And I'm trembling because I'm a mortal man being touched by power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a consequence, I'm trembling. And I'm not trembling from fear. I'm trembling with the anticipation of God keeping his word and visiting America again in a time of crisis. Finney preached during the Civil War, and his preaching helped free the slaves. Charles Finney was a lawyer, and he took on the Freemasons and the Illuminati by name and directly. He was fearless because he was filled with the Spirit of God. So that trembling, the residue of that trembling, is moving through my body now. Because in my heart of hearts, I would know that I was a liar and that I had betrayed Christ if I didn't sound the trumpet. And if I didn't do what I could to dispel the demonic confusion that has come upon God's people, and if I didn't do what I could to dispel the demonic oppression that is waging war against every Christian in America and across the world. And I say to you from this studio that the time has come, in fact, it's long overdue, for God's people to rise under the power of the Holy Spirit and to allow God to make you fearless because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so rise, because God is calling you to rise. And rise without fear, because when you rise without fear, you are consumed with the fires of heaven and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And when any man or woman is consumed with the fire of the Holy Spirit, they become fearless. And when you become fearless, no enemy, no principality or power can stand in your way or dare to defy you. The time has come to stop playing church. It's over. It's repulsive to God, and it stinks to high heaven. God said to the lukewarm church, which is America, because you were neither hot or cold, and because you were lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, fortunately, we can repent of being lukewarm, but that requires that we admit in the first place that we are and were lukewarm. And so I repent, and you should repent. This is the final moment, and we must rise. We have no fear, and we are going to take back the land, America, that was won for us by the biblical pilgrims and Puritans. We are going to take back America. And no secret society, no occult, satanic army, no globalist trillionaires who stole their wealth or sold their souls to the devil through human sacrifice to get it is going to stand in our way. Hear the voice of the Lord and stand. And above all, stand again and let us together today take the land. I need your help. I'm not playing games. I need you to help me financially with your gifts and contributions, and I'll say no more. I need your help by spreading this message far and wide, and I need your help by volunteering and helping us spread this message all over America and let it spread all over the world. I don't apologize for being emotional. I rarely allow those kinds of emotions to be seen or heard publicly. I'm very private in that area. But I was so touched and so overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit that I couldn't strain myself. So if somebody finds that odd, so be it. So be it. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us and stand with us. Paul McGuire is mcguire.us. God bless you. Let's take care.